The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Superstar that wants out of H-Town, Houston. We got a problem. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Happy Friday, y'all.
Happy Friday. How y'all doing?
You look nice, Stephen A.
Thank you. Not as nice as you in that yellow. You know I love
Max
the yellow.
Max always.
You know I love the yellow.
Thank you.
It's nice.
Appreciate it. All right, let's get it, guys. So we know James Harden wants out, but according to the Houston Chronicle, the Texans think they can mend this relationship. They think there's hope that it can all work out. And obviously, no surprise, there has been a ton of trade interest in Deshaun Watson. Stephen A.,
yeah.
Where's the best destination for him?
Deshaun Watson would be the Miami Dolphins. Mm. I love the idea of Chris Greer, an African-American GM, Brian Flores, an African-American coach, with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, their defense is good. Their offense needs some additional weapons. We understand that. But considering, I'm taking into consideration where he's coming from with the Houston Texans. I don't care what anybody says. Something went wrong there. Something went dreadfully wrong there. And when I look at the Houston Texans right now and I see what's transpiring with them as an organization and how Deshaun Watson is desperately trying to get out of there, so much so that he's willing to go public and say the things that they, you know, again, when I say public, obviously through his representation, he has said he wants out. And so when I look at it from that perspective, it's more than just about football with him, clearly. And considering those things and what the Miami Dolphins are representing right now, clearly the Washington Redskins would be an additional organization, but I don't think they have the assets necessary in order to attract Houston to make a deal, even though Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. But when you got an African-American president, an African-American GM, and a minority as the head coach in Ron Rivera, when you consider that, along with the fact that there clearly is more than just football that's going on in the mind of Deshaun Watson, I would say the Miami Dolphins are the ideal situation, particularly since Tom Brady is no longer in New England with Bill Belichick, and it's just you battling the Buffalo Bills. I definitely think that would be an ideal situation for him.
Well, if I were the Jets, I'd want him.
Mm.
And if I were the Jets,
more than Trevor Lawrence.
Well, they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. But if I were the Jets, I'd want him. And if I were the Jets, I would think I need a quarterback who's going to be great no matter how dysfunctional mm-hmm. we are. That's Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And the Jets have a lot to offer. If I were Deshaun Watson, I'd love to go to Miami. And Miami also has them a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But if I were the Texans, I'm not trading him in the AFC. No. I'm not having this dude coming back and beating my brains out. No, I'm trading him to the NFC. So when I look around at the NFC, you've heard me make the case in the past for the Chicago Bears. They haven't had a great quarterback ever in the Super Bowl era. They've won one Super Bowl in 35 years. I had a guy call my radio show, Max Kellerman Show, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Well, no, as you would say, what time is that?
2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
2 to what?
2 to 4 p.m. Eastern.
The Max Kellerman Show.
Yes, that's you can go to ESPN Plus and check it out, as you can Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus, as you know. So the point is, this guy calls up. He's from New York. He wants to talk. He's a Bears fan because he came of age around 85. They were so dominant. That would be a great – but let's say Deshaun Watson mm-hmm. says, I'd like them to have a little more on offense, and the Bears don't have enough to give up, and it's cold weather and all that. Stephen A., there are two teams – in a beautiful weather destination, two different beautiful weather destinations on the West Coast, where Deshaun Watson would be plug and play, and maybe you take him to win the Super Bowl next year.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Rams, where you hear Les Snead and you hear McVay, the GM, and the coach won't commit to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, Jared Goff also has some trade value. You probably get it, even with his contract, at least a third-round pick, you would think at
least.
Not
if you're the Houston Texans.
I'm not saying it could be a three. Right. You know, they could just flip him into something else maybe. The point is, Goff's been to two Pro Bowls, and they've been to a Super Bowl. But McVay is looking at Goff like, I need someone who can give me more. Obviously, right? Obviously. That's why the backup, he wouldn't even commit to Goff when Goff might have been healthy with his backup, by the way, who gotten cut by the Jets. Deshaun Watson on the Rams with McVay is a whole lot of. That's a problem. And then, of course, in San Francisco, another brilliant offensive mind in Shanahan. on a team with a defense and the whole nine, and an immediate upgrade. Also, a team who has recently been to a Super Bowl. Neither team could get over the top, and let's be honest, why? The quarterback. They were good enough to get them there, not good enough to win it. Is Deshaun good enough to win it? You put him on either one of those teams, and those teams, like, probably they'd be my Super Bowl pick, at least to get there, preseason.
Well, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about San Francisco. Certainly, L.A., I thought we were taking into account the plausibility of it all in terms of what assets they could offer the Houston Texans in order to make this happen. Clearly, if you're talking about competing for a Super Bowl, those would be better options than both Miami and New York. But I'm thinking about the plausibility of it all, and based on the assets available. The Miami Dolphins have the number 3 overall pick, okay? They've got the number 18 overall pick, if I remember correctly. Plus, they have a guy in Tua Tagovailoa who potentially they could Houston might be interested in. And not only that, they've got a high second round pick as well. So I'm thinking about those things. In the case of the Jets, they had 2 and 23 in the first round, number 34 in the second round, and you have Sam Darnold. So they could have definitely, I think, from a plausibility perspective, both Miami and New York can compete with one another to make very, very attractive offers to Houston. That's where I'm coming from with that. And obviously, the Miami Dolphins are in a much, much better situation than the New York Jets at this particular moment in time. You remember, they missed the playoffs, but they won 10 games this past season. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at management. I'm looking at the assets that they have available. The New York Jets, we've got to remember, they've got about $66 million in cap space, but this is the same organization that hasn't been in the Super Bowl since 1969. This is the same organization that's had loads and loads of trouble. You hired somebody that showed up to a press conference high. We don't know that definitively, but Adam Gase looked high. Period. Looks zooted out of his, you know what. So the bottom line.
And he was all brakes, no gas.
There you go.
They went from all brakes, no gas, all gas, no brakes.
I'm just looking at that and I'm saying, okay, the Jets do have assets. There's no question about that. But compared to Miami, where Miami is and where the Jets are, I think Miami is a far more attractive
situation. Let's put it this way. If the question is, where is the most likely scenario where he'd be very happy, they'd be very strong, and they have a realistic trade package? That's Miami. What I'm saying about San Francisco is once Adam Schefter reported on First Take yesterday that Deshaun Watson is actually open to a lot of trade destinations, now all of a sudden everyone's in on the bidding. And while this year, take a team like San Francisco with Shanahan, right? Mm-hmm. Garoppolo, you would think, has some trade value, whether or not it's a direct swap, but there's some trade value. They didn't have a good record this year. Mm-hmm. So they have the 12th pick in the draft. They're high up in the second round, the 43rd.
They were decimated by injuries.
Yeah. So they have two good draft picks in this draft, and they could offer a future first also. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they have cap space. They got about, I think, off the 22 million and change cap space. Like, they could swing it if they decided we are that quarterback away from the Super Bowl. And by the way, guys, I think they are. I think they are that quarterback away from the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
surprised you guys didn't say the Patriots. I feel like they always find a way to get it done.
No, you know why we're not saying the Patriots? Because Tom Brady has highlighted for us what Bill Belichick is lacking as a GM. And that's the key. First of all, it's a couple of things. Number one, what kind of talent are you going to surround them with? And number two, and not to say that Bill Belichick would ever say this, because I don't believe he ever would. But the mentality that we make the decisions, you just go out there and play. If there is an environment in the National Football League where that clearly exists, and it is not to be questioned, it's in New England. The difference between Houston and New England, one could easily argue, is that New England has championship trophies to show for their for their approach to things, whereas the Houston Texans don't have such a thing. But still in all, if you're Deshaun Watson and you're trying to get the hell out of a particular situation and you want to have more cachet, more say, well, if Tom Brady was limited in the amount of say he had, what the hell with Deshaun Watson? I don't care how good you are. You ain't going up to Foxborough and trying to run anything.
Yeah, I would say that I'd love to see him with Belichick, right? Let's answer some more questions. Brady doesn't need Belichick.
They do need a quarterback.
What does Belichick need? Belichick's never been willing to pay a premium for quarterback. Never. Like, he didn't draft Brady's replacement in the first round. Mm-hmm. They always the second round, third round, right? Brady was sixth round.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't invest in – and even Cam was off the scrap heap.
Or wide receivers.
I don't know if – and he may have to adjust his thinking, because I actually believe the NFL that he was existing in over the 20 years that he was winning with Brady was actually less dependent on quarterback play. Well, and now the way the quarterbacks are protected and the way the rules have changed to favor the offense constantly, probably need a premium quarterback.
But you're saying he needs to adjust his thinking, and you're not wrong, but let's be specific here. We've been told, according to numerous reports that I've read and heard, you have a staff in New England that does a hell of a job. It's just that after the season is over, shortly thereafter, reportedly, Bill Belichick is just basically thrown up to the wayside and said, I got it from here. Right. So he's not listening enough.
You mean in the offseason to evaluating talent?
He's not listening enough to the people he's put in positions to help make these decisions.
I mean, no one works the draft better. All right, let's get to another quarterback with issues. This one might be personal for you, Mr. Smith. Big Ben wants to return to the Steelers, but his $41.2 million salary cap hit is an issue. With the salary cap decreasing because of a drop in revenue due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Steelers President Art Rooney II says sacrifices must be made.
Ben wants to come back. So we've left that door open. We've been, I think, upfront with Ben and letting him know that we couldn't have him back under the current contract. And so I think he understands we have some work to do there.
Okay, Stephen A., we know Big Ben's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah. I know you're grateful always having your team in contention. But at this point, can the Steelers win a Super Bowl title with Ben at the helm?
Yeah, but with a caveat, if you get a running game. The fact of the matter is, over the last 3 years, the Steelers have had one of the worst rushing attacks in football. The Pittsburgh Steelers, with Tomlin, Mr. Run the Football, stop the run. They've had one of the worst rushing attacks in all of football. They ranked like 29th over the last 2 years. This year, they ranked dead last. They had the worst rushing attack in the National Football League. I don't know if that's ever happened to the Steelers organization, ever, until now. And so I don't believe that Big Ben Roethlisberger is the guy that you can go to say, fling that football 40 to 50 times a game and take us there. He's not that dude anymore. If that's the dude that he wants to be, if that's the system he wants to play in, Big Ben Roethlisberger needs to retire. Because all he's going to do is get himself hurt. You're going to win a few football games. You're going to get to the players. You're going to go home early. Might get yourself hurt in the long run because he's no longer – he can't shrug off. He's not Big Ben that he used to be. Can't extend plays by shrugging off defenders or even scrambling for that matter. That's not who he is any longer, okay? He's a stationary target for the most part. He's a big target. Mm-hmm. He's a big target, but he's still a stationary target. And these brothers coming at you, young and strong and vibrant, they're going to take him down. And so for me – you have to be able to offset that by being able to run the football. I have told y'all on numerous occasions, I am a fan of James Conner, the person. Conner has a great, great story. He's overcome a lot in his life. I wish him nothing but the best. He's not a scrub, but it's not an accident that since Le'Veon Bell has departed, they can't run the damn football effectively. He's not the answer. He's not a game changer. Okay.
Oh, Le'Veon, who's in a Super Bowl?
That's right. Yeah. That dude. But even though they ain't there because of him. But the point is that the Steelers haven't been the same since he's departed.
AB, who's in a Super Bowl too, right?
That's right. Well, that has. But then again, you can sit up there and say that hasn't really had a detrimental effect. You look at Chase Claypool. You look at.
I'm just Juju saying. Schuster, they're both
Eric
in
Ebron,
Super Bowls.
James
the Steelers
Washington.
Aren't.
They've got an abundance. Yeah, but again, we know who they're playing for and playing with. In the end, what it comes down to is the Steelers cannot run the football. And if you can't run the football and you're asking Big Ben Roethlisberger, who had 33 touchdowns, just 10 interceptions, completed 65% of his passes, threw for nearly 4,000 yards, it's not good enough in today's NFL. You got to be a 4,500-yard-plus passer unless you can run like Lamar Jackson.
Especially,
and that ain't them.
Especially because of what that means in high-leverage situations. But, Molly, actually, something you said.
Mm-hmm.
Those, you know, AB and Le'Veon are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The reason they're in the Super Bowl is because they were both amazing in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
And AB still may be amazing. Le'Veon's past his prime, but in his prime, is one of the best I've ever seen overall. They're both scrap heap players, though. They got picked up on the cheap.
Yeah.
Right. That's why they're in the Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger can't be paid like a quarterback, like a great quarterback. He has to get paid like the way Cam Newton was paid. Then could he be in a Super Bowl? I actually still think no. Even then, I think no. it's easier to, you know, you could fit a running back or a wideout who could do certain things for you still on your team cheap, but your quarterback, what have we seen in recent years? The guys who are good enough to guide you to the Super Bowl, to not mess it up, are not good enough to put you over the top. What I say about Garoppolo in San Francisco, Goff in Los Angeles. They haven't been good enough to get you over the top just as kind of a game manager. Phillip Rivers can win regular season games. What happens in the playoffs? Same thing in baseball. You could have a junk ball pitcher, get guys out in the regular season, but in the playoffs, when the talent goes up, you better have that heat. Roethlisberger don't have the heat anymore. It doesn't look like to me. Now, I was wrong about Brady in the sense that Brady had more heat than I gave him credit for, and maybe Roethlisberger can push the ball down the field, but he's trying to play the way Brady's played for years, getting the ball out quick. It's not really his style. Did it well, not his style. Mm-hmm. And behind an offensive line, Stephen A., and I don't blame Connor, I blame the O-line run blocking. Mm-hmm. Behind an offensive line that's not giving receivers time to get down the field or blocking for the run, you got to be able to do more than Roethlisberger can do right now.
Well, what I will say to you is this. Connor, I'm looking at his elusivity, and I don't see it. I don't think that he's an evasive kind of runner. I mean, you create holes for him, he can run through them. But he's very rudimentary. He's just very conservative
in that
regard. He looks relatively pedestrian in that regard. That's number one. Number two, the running attack for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I will remind y'all that in 2016, they had the 14th ranked rushing attack, if I remember correctly. In 2016, it was 14th. In 2017, it was 20th. 2018, second to last, ranked 34th. Last year, 29th in the league. This year, dead last. They don't have a running attack. And when you talk about Big Ben Roethlisberger, Max, let's understand something. There's plenty of quarterbacks that we look at and we say they ain't winning no damn Super Bowl, but we'd still pay them because they can ball. See, we look at Big Ben Roethlisberger. We have to look at Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, of course. But take Patrick Mahomes away, and who could they beat if they had a running attack? Practically anyone.
You think
else. They
beat Josh Allen when it comes down
if
to
they
it?
I'm saying, if they had a running attack, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers would be able to beat anybody outside of Kansas City, even with Big Ben Roethlisberger. I think they could beat anybody if they had a running attack because their defense is elite. And you got a running attack, and Big Ben Roethlisberger can make plays. The problem is when you're asking him to take the load that a star quarterback takes and shoulder it on that level without making mistakes, that's not Big Ben. That's why they'll sit up there. They'll bend a lot, but not break with Ben because they believe at some point he will make mistakes. Whereas the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Patrick Mahomes, they will pick you apart. Remember the great Kenny Stabler from many years ago? Kenny Stabler had no arm whatsoever, Molly and Max. No arm whatsoever. But somehow, some way, he just picked you apart piece by piece. He was a surgeon. No one worries about that with Big Ben Roethlisberger. They know that he's going to make a mistake
at some
point.
Even surgeons nowadays.
He'll hurt you with the big play, but he'll make a mistake.
Brady makes mistakes. He's just so clutch before.
Even surgeons nowadays need the requisite arm strength. Like, I bring up Chad Pennington back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. He was an excellent quarterback. Didn't really have the arm strength. If you look at Drew Brees, like, let's take the modern NFL. Guys like Garoppolo and Brees and guys like that and Rivers recently have enough to get it done in the regular season. Mm-hmm. You need a fastball in the playoffs. You need to bring the heat in the playoffs. Still, they're going to come down, especially in this NFL, usually to big moments, big throws, high leverage situations where guys like Brees and Rivers recently, the old guys, don't have it. Garoppolo didn't have it when you needed it most. I think Roethlisberger's in that category. I would not bet my franchise's near-term fortunes on locking up Big Ben to try to win a Super Bowl.
But Garoppolo almost won a Super Bowl because he had Mostert, Tevin Campbell, and those boys running the football for him and a guy like George Kittle to throw the football to in an elite defense.
Weapons can certainly cover up a lot of sins. Let me just ask you this really quickly, yes or no question. Do you think if your Steelers, as presently constructed, had Le'Veon Bell and AB right now, they'd be in the Super Bowl this year?
No, they need an offensive line that can block for the run.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. In celebration of Black History Month, First Take is bringing you on an HBCU tour each Wednesday in February. We'll check in with a different school starting next Wednesday at Stephen A's alma mater, Winston-Salem State University.
It'd be good, yeah, when we can get back to actually going.
I know.
To places.
Yeah. I miss having the crowd.
I definitely, if I had to go there by myself, I would have been at every one of those schools if it wasn't for COVID.
Yeah. I'm with you. Tune in all month right here at First Take.
This is the biggest game Patrick Mahomes will ever play in for the rest of his career. It's the only way to catch Tom Brady. He has to win this game. If he loses this game, he cannot catch Tom Brady, in my opinion.
Oh, Tony Romo, who will be calling the game 1 week from Sunday on CBS, saying the stakes are incredibly high. Max Kellerman for Patrick Mahomes, more so than any normal quarterback, because if he ever wants to be the GOAT, the MJ of football, he can't do it unless he wins this game. Do you agree with him?
No, I don't. And in fact, this is the exact topic that we actually debated on this show earlier in the week. I mean, look, leading up to the Super Bowl, people are going to have a lot of the same kind of takes leading up.
I want to hear it again.
We literally debated this topic, and I will tell you why not. It will be very difficult, yes, because if Brady beats him, no matter what Mahomes does, people are going to say it's unlikely he gets to 10 Super Bowls and wins 7. Mm-hmm. And people are going to say when Brady was 112 years old, he beat Mahomes in his prime, and he's got more Super Bowl wins. Tough, right? But not impossible. For example, let me give you an unlikely scenario, but not a crazy one. What if they met again in the Super Bowl next year and Mahomes won? Like, what about that? What if there was a rematch? Brady still looked really good this year. He wants to play till he's 45. The Bucs are loaded, and we expect the Chiefs to get out of the AFC every year.
My mind can't go there yet.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, there's a scenario. Here's another thing. Let's talk about the pace that they're on. Patrick Mahomes has been in the league for 3 seasons as a starter. 3. He's 25 years old. He has been to 3 AFC championship games. This will be 2 Super Bowls, and he's won a Super Bowl, even if he loses to Brady.
Yeah.
He's also won an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. He's 25. He's also putting up numbers that we've never seen before to start a career. Yeah. Kind of in any sport. He's putting up Wilt Chamberlain numbers. Like, oh my God, he's doing, what's his completion percentage? What's his QBR? How many touchdowns? How many interceptions? How many wins? Do you realize in Patrick Mahomes' last 26 starts, they're 25-1 against the NFL? It's insane. They don't even have a good, do the Chiefs have a great defense? No. So given the pace Mahomes is on, even if he gets, if he wins half the number of, so if he wins, let's say, 4 Super Bowls by the end of his career and loses to Brady but beats him in a rematch, let's say, and we look at his career and say, yes, Brady is the GOAT in terms of career value, the way Kareem or maybe LeBron is by this point, right? But who do we actually call the GOAT in the NBA? Most people, Jordan. Because his peak was long enough that, like, his career was long enough at his peak that he qualifies, and the peak was just the highest. So we may one day look, even if he loses this Super Bowl, and say, man, he got to and won enough Super Bowls, especially if he ever gets Brady in a rematch where he would lose this one. He got him back, and we all saw it with our own eyes. No one was ever as good as Mahomes. That would be, I admit, it's a big mountain to climb, but he could do it.
No, he can't. If he loses the Super Bowl to Tom Brady, he will never, ever. Tom Brady is 43 years of age. And I'm going to use this analogy to you, and it's a bad one, I'll admit it, but I think I'm using a boxing analogy just to get Max to where I'm going. Do you remember when Costa Zoo for Zab Judah?
Sure do.
You remember when Zab was talking and talking and talking, and he fought Costazu, and Costazu caught him. You know, Zab was trying to dip, got caught with the right hand, went down, Molly, and got up like this, and his legs were shaking and went and fell back down. I still think the referee shouldn't have stopped the fight. He should have let it go.
Agreed.
You understand? But nevertheless.
Oh, Stephen A., that fight was over.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that, but he still let him.
I agree with
because
you.
Because he let him go because he still had
it. He got up, he wanted to fight.
He got up, he wanted to fight, so let him fight. Here's the point. Why do I bring that up in an analogy like this? Because everybody said, rematch, rematch, rematch. Costazu said, no. You said winner take all. Winner gets everything. Because he thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
He said, now. In other words, to punish him, he said, I ain't giving you another shot.
Yeah, do that in the NFL.
Live with this, right? What if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl?
Could retire.
And says, I'm done.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'm done. You know what? I beat Patrick Mahomes.
On a high note.
I beat the modern day GOAT, you're right, according to y'all, at age 43 in my first year with a new team. It's a wrap. I thought I would come back. Giselle, baby, all the kids, we did what we came to do. You understand? It's a wrap. Can't end any better. Not only do I go out a champion, I knocked off Patrick Mahomes
in his
and
prime.
The offensive juggernaut that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Not just Patrick Mahomes' prime, Travis Kelce's prime, Tyreek Hill's prime. I took them out.
And he'd have seven rings.
And I'd have seven. Yeah, we
even if
know that.
Brady
and MJ has
that's
six
a,
rings.
That's a given.
Even if Brady didn't play well, but what people
saying,
wouldn't remember.
No, but what I'm saying is, if he sat up there and won the game and then said, I'm done.
Yeah.
Now, see, where he could tarnish it, if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, even if he beats Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes still looks like Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady comes back next year looking like Peyton Manning did in his last year, that could ruin it. But if Tom Brady won, played well doing so, and then said, I'm done. There's no more for me to do. I don't think Patrick Mahomes could overcome that because no matter what, even if you won seven, which I don't believe will happen, even if you won seven, you still lost to him not once but twice in the postseason. Your only postseason losses of your career. One was in the AFC Championship game. Another was in the Super Bowl because he went to the conference. It was when he was 43 years of age. It's his seventh ring, and he beat you, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce in his prime. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. You can't eclipse that.
Well,
you
I'll say this.
Can't do it.
If Tony Romo had said, which is what you're saying it is possible that if Brady beats Mahomes, he can fix it so that Brady, that Mahomes will never have a chance. I agree with your argument. It would be so unlikely. What could Mahomes do? Win 10 in a, Super Bowls in a row, right? Like he'd have to do something like that to really get back in it. So I would agree. There is something Brady could do after the game, which would ice it forever, which is to retire. That is true. I can't argue against that.
Yeah.
But Brady said he wants to play till he's 45 years old.
We'll see.
And given the way he's playing now on the team he's on, right, with the weapons and the defense he has.
I would remind y'all that I don't mean to put business out there in terms of the industry, but if Peyton Manning wanted to be in the booth, I don't care what network you point to. You talking about a minimum. If Tony Romo getting 17, you talking about Peyton Manning getting a minimum of 20. Peyton Manning has how many rings?
Two.
Yeah.
So the seven-time champion that looks like a damn model with those Tom Ford suits, that's married to a supermodel, that ends his career at age 43, if he were to do that, who's getting $25 million a year now to play football for the next 2 years, has a chance to retire to make $20 million a year at least in the booth without getting touched, can do it for the next decade?
I don't think he would do it. I think Tom Brady's got his mind on this.
I
think Tom Brady wants to make $1 billion with TB12.
Guess what? Send me the supplements. So, don't tell me they don't work now, Max. So, I don't care what you think they are.
TB12
supplements. I'll never eat a shade vegetable again.
TB12 tweeted at me and offered me a training session with Guerrero.
I want it. Send me the training session and the supplements.
Hold on, y'all. Let me ask you a question. How is retiring from football but being in the booth hurts TB12, particularly if he goes out a champion?
I would say this about that.
It didn't hurt the Jordan question. Brand.
No, well, except that Jordan never went to the booth. Kobe never went to the booth. There are some guys, Jeter didn't go to the booth.
Those too
guys,
big to
like,
go.
Right, A-Rod went, and you could see Peyton there, but the dudes who are the pristine champion brands, like you think them, all you think is champion, they're looking at owning the team. Jeter owns the team.
Yeah.
Jordan owns the team. I always believe, you know, that Kobe was going to own the Lakers.
Yeah, but there's nothing,
I don't see Brady
nothing
in the booth.
Prohibiting him from eventually helping to own a team. Just because you go in the booth, you could always – listen, John Gruden was in the booth. He won one Super Bowl title. He missed the playoffs 4 of his 6 years in Tampa, disappeared from coaching football for 10 years, went to the booth, and came back and got a $100 million deal with incentives that drive the contract up to $118 million. Do you have any idea how much money Tom Brady can make? I'm talking about aside from TB12. So let's take TB12 into consideration. You have any idea? And then you got the supermodel wife that's sitting there going like this, honey, we followed your way for quite some time. We have obliged.
Is this the love doctor
We have obliged. Remember,
yeah.
He was interviewed.
It's a lot of
started talking about how, remember when he revealed that,
yeah.
Guess what? You know, being a dad, my wife said I wasn't doing my part.
Yeah. What you're saying is there is some upside for Brady to keep playing if he wins the Super Bowl. But there's also downside, whereas there's no downside if he retires if he wins the Super Bowl.
Zero.
That's also a good argument. He said he's going to play till he's 45, and I believe him.
I forgot about that. I'm just focused on getting those supplements and that training, whatever I need to do to stay young. All right, we'll leave it there. When we come back, before this, we got a huge week ahead as we count down to Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. Next week, Christian McCaffrey, Devontae Smith, Jared Allen, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Stephon Diggs, Nick Chubb will all join the show, plus a huge surprise. Huge people you don't want to miss. Make sure you tune in all next week right here on First Take. I can't wait.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Lakers have dropped their last two. Last night, they lost to the lowly Pistons by 15, but the King was without AD. Max Kellerman, what does this say about LeBron's MVP case that, you know, he's not winning without having his counterpart, Anthony Davis?
Not talking about who's going to wind up winning the MVP. I'm talking about right now. This shows what I mean about Embiid.
Okay.
Embiid, at this moment, if I had to choose an MVP, I'm giving it to Joel Embiid. Look what just happened to the Lakers. And I know they're on a road trip, and everyone loses on the road eventually and all that. Who didn't play last night? They can't do it without AD. They lost to a bad team. A bad team. Now look at Embiid. Remember I told you, LeBron has played all the games. Embiid's missed 4 games. So you're like, okay, if they're comparable in value, obviously the guy who played 4 more games is more valuable. Except That hasn't hurt the Sixers in the standings. They're number one in the Eastern Conference. By the way, the Lakers aren't anymore in the Western Conference. And what happened with and without Embiid? With that four games, since it hasn't hurt the Sixers in the conference, what that four game shows is what they are with them and without them. They're 0-4. They got stomped out by the same team that just beat the Lakers, who they beat with Embiid. So Embiid is the whole shooting match for the Sixers. With him, they're dominant. They just beat the Lakers head-to-head.
Yeah.
And by the way, Embiid was giving them the business to the point where they took him out of the game. LeBron shoved him when he was up in the air. Gasol gave him a little help from behind, didn't give him a place to land. Embiid came down so hard, he really wasn't the same after that. Sixers still beat him. They hung tough enough to beat him, but the Lakers came back on him. Embiid's value is so pronounced to the Sixers. LeBron is great. There's no question. He's up there. But he didn't have AD, and they lost to one of the worst teams in basketball. If you're splitting hairs here. But right now, Embiid's the MVP of the league.
I'm closing my eyes right now because I don't like when you give me a reason to come to the defense of LeBron James. It really bothers me. You see, I'm one of those people that believe that LeBron listen, I think LeBron James gets enough praise. You know, that's why I have to put up the ticket. Great husband, great father.
Put it up?
You know, I think we should put it up. I mean, great father, great husband, great businessman, you know, very philanthropic. I mean, the dude, he's unbelievable, okay? And I think that it's appalling to me that people in his camp are disgusted at the fact that, oh, my God, it is an insult to call him the second greatest player in the history of the sport ever created. I mean, my God, to call him number two. I mean, you're just stabbing
Paul
him in the heart. Oh, my God,
two,
what an insult.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What
never
an insult.
Never mind what you're saying about Jordan if you call LeBron
exactly.
Number one. Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in this case.
There it is.
This is the kind of stuff. This is a great husband, great father, a generous philanthropist. I mean, this is a director, a producer. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. I mean, just put it all up there. Let's make sure we get that out the way. But in this particular situation.
Hollywood power broker.
That's right. Hollywood power broker.
Put that up.
It's all there. It's all there. It's all there. The resume is impeccable. Okay. But let me tell you something. In this particular instance, this is what LeBron is just. This should disgust him, Mac, your take. Here's why. Because we got a headline there, and we're talking about LeBron James in question, the MVP, and all. It's one game, and guess what? It's Detroit. You're sitting up there, they're going to a bad team. Max, that's what happens. Do you know the worst team in NBA history actually won 9 games? Do you realize that? Worst team in history actually won 9 games. It's Philadelphia 76 many years ago. What I'm saying to you is this. It happens. And Anthony Davis doesn't play last night. At least 10 dudes played 13 minutes. You go in there against a weak team. You take it for granted. You take a night off. It's the regular season. If this were a season that started on time, this would be December. Yeah, what do we care? This would be approaching New Year's Eve. That's what this would be right now if the season had started as regularly scheduled. All I'm saying is, listen, LeBron has graduated to a point where it is so grotesquely unfair to look at him in an early regular season game and measure him in any way. This brother is about, you know, April, May, and June, literally or figuratively speaking, the postseason. That's what he gets measured by. To me, what's alarming, if I'm Anthony Davis, here's what I would say to Anthony Davis, my brother. You're finally being recognized with the greatness that you deserve as one of the top 5 players on the planet. If LeBron James at age 36, in his 18th season, is playing more games and more minutes than you, we got a problem. That should not be happening. Because what LeBron is doing, and what I believe he should be teaching Anthony Davis, is that it's one thing when you're a star or a superstar quality talent. It's another thing when you're the headline. See, I love for Kobe, God rest his soul. I love for MJ. I love for the elite superstars like LeBron. He's included in that list. That, I will put him on that list. In terms of being a headliner and consistently answering the call, showing up to work when you don't want to, because you know everybody's watching and they're coming to see you.
Okay.
And I'm saying
it's a little
to you,
unfair to AD.
I'm not being unfair to AD because I'm not calling him out for anything. I'm saying, keep in mind, AD, that's the responsibility that you have now that you are a champion playing alongside LeBron. That's all I'm saying. I'm
Kobe
not saying anything wrong yet. I'm just saying let's keep that in mind moving forward for AD.
Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, off the top of my head, throughout most of their primes, usually played in the 70s of games. Like Jordan played 82 games every year. When it wasn't 82, it was 81 or 80. But most of the modern players play in the 70s. This was the second of back-to-back on a road trip. That's why I'm not killing LeBron, of course. And Stephen A., we're not talking about who's the best player in the game. We're not talking about the championship or who's eventually going to win the MVP. I've been making the case. I'm just MVP tracker, regular season, which I don't even like that award. I don't think it's that meaningful, but people care about it. MVP tracker, regular season, at this moment, if you had to vote, Embiid. And last night was, you know, it is close. You say you shouldn't judge him on this little kind of information, but when it's that close, every little bit counts. They just lost to the Pistons without AD.
According to Caesars, LeBron leads the odds in terms of winning MVP, and Joel Embiid is third. But there's still a very long way to go.